Are you stuck in the same old routine at work? Do you find yourself hitting a creative wall, unable to see beyond your current perspective? It's time to break free and unlock the power of fresh perspectives.
Well, David Guthrow back here with Discover Fresh Perspectives. And today I have the pleasure of being with, having a conversation with Marion Graub-Finkelstein. So welcome, Marion. And, you know, when you said one of the things you were passionate about was about something around small, but maybe you could just first give us a little bit of an idea of what your work is like so we have a context to listen to this into.
Sure, absolutely. First of all, I'm really happy to be here, David. Always great to chat with you. And my business is called MarionSpeaks.com. And it's because Marion speaks at conferences and at coaching and in person and virtually. And I my topic of conversation typically is about leadership communication. So I really help leaders connect with clients, colleagues, bosses, employees. And I also do the personality thing, meaning I'm certified in personality. I just don't slap together 12 questions and say I do that personality thing. I've heard some colleagues say they do that. But I find that that really plays a lot in how we communicate as well.
And so so that's very helpful. And you've been doing this for how long, Marion?
Oh, a long time. I've had my own business for over 20 years. And I ran it part-time while I was working the corporate business. I'm a former director of communication in federal institutions. So I worked at Transport Canada when Transport owned all the airports. So I worked in airports marketing and conducted a week-long airports marketing course for all the airport managers across Canada and such. And then I went to museums and worked in, I was in Ottawa and I worked at the National Museums there and did the promotion and communications, media relations, AV, all that stuff. And then moved from there to the Morale and Welfare Support Agency that supported Canadian Force members and their families.
Oh, wow.
And wrote national policies on sponsorships and donations and conducted media relations training and did all that sort of thing. So when I talk to my clients about communications, I speak both from the one-to-one communication viewpoint and also communicating with the masses too, because honestly, the principles are the same. Companies are made up of people. We're all individuals. So speaking to the individuals in a company, whether that's your group of employees or your colleagues or whoever the group is, you're speaking to individuals.
So I just did a quick calculation and to do all those things, you've been working for 147 years, I figure. So,
that's right. It's, you know, my skin looks this way because it's oil of Olay. I eat it.
Oh. So
those they don't even call it oil of Olay anymore. That's how old I am. Actually, you know, it's interesting, David, when you talk about the number of years I've been doing this, I've actually, I guess when I think in decades, probably about, I have about 40 years experience in doing what I do every single day. But you know, the interesting thing, seeing as I speak about leadership communication, is I apply these principles every single day in my personal life. My husband doesn't know it, but he's my Petri dish. I try out these techniques with him.
Yeah, and it's good that you're subtle on that, because I know that some people, their spouse will say, don't try that stuff on me. So you have to be so good. So it's just so natural. They don't even realize you're doing something to them rather than with them or for them.
Yeah. There you go.
So you've got lots of experience, Marion, and you said you wanted to talk about, I'll just say the topic is small. So what do you mean by that? How did you come to that realization?
Well, I wanted to speak to you and to your listeners about think small. And the reason why is because, you know, all us business people and as individuals, we're on social media, we're on Facebook and LinkedIn and whatever, TikTok and oh my gosh, all of them. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to take a guess here to say that you're being pitched at a lot. you know, right? Yeah, we're all nodding our heads. Oh, can't stand that. When somebody doesn't even know me, they reach out to me, you think it's they want to get to know you. And the next thing is, do you want to build your business, increase your sales, increase your exposure, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you don't even know me. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I'm targeting. You don't know what my goals are. How can you possibly think you have a solution for an undefined problem? You don't even know if I have. You don't know if the fit is there. So when I say think small, really what I'm thinking is, instead of thinking about growing everything bigger, growing the confusion, growing the chaos, growing the business, okay, that's good for some people, growing. They're in the growth stage, but it doesn't work for everybody. And I'll tell you the two stages of life and product development where it really, you want to think small. The first stage is the beginning of your business, or when you're trying something new in your personal life, the beginning of something. The second stage, when you really want to think small, is when you're winding down, when you're starting to slow down a little bit, when you're starting to divest yourself of some of the things that you've invested in for years, perhaps decades. And honestly, I'm sort of at that phase where I have been on the go, 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 go for decades. I really am in the wind down stage. I want to connect with people who want to wind down and want to take life a little slower, to appreciate things like, you know, David, I see your posts on Facebook and I always delight. I know I'm going to smile when I see them, but you do that quite naturally. You notice the little things in life. You come from a place of appreciation and an attitude of gratitude. And that's why I'm drawn to you as a colleague and a friend. Like, that's why I relate to you, because you appreciate the small things. And that's really what I mean by think small.
So how, you know, we're surrounded by, you know, this, you know, incredibly competitive economy that's about, you know, bigger, faster, better, all those kinds of things. And it's almost like there's a manic fear about, if I don't go crazy, I'm not going to do well. And I'm interpreting what you're saying is that you can do small, be small, but still do well. It's not about compromising on quality and things like that. In fact, that sounds like it's probably has the opposite effect, that actually increases the quality when you think small.
Exactly. And it's that fear of missing out, that FOMO thing, you know, I've got to do it all. I've got to try everything. No, you don't. You can think small. You don't have to have a huge list. The size of your list doesn't really matter. What matters is, what are you doing with that list? You know, like a delightful thing has happened in my business. I'll share it with you right now. And this is an example of think small, is as professional speakers, we often, and trainers and keynote speakers and such, or whatever your business is, we often think, oh, gee, we have to have huge lists and we have to do things in a big, with a big audience. We have to reach out to a lot of people. But really, interestingly, the part of my business that's actually growing right now is coaching. Because people want to talk one-on-one. We miss that human connection. We miss that think small in terms of how many people you need to connect with. So it's not necessarily the width of how many people you're broad with, you know, your broadband or whatever the term is. It's the depth. It's narrow casting and really going in deep, diving deep with those connections that you currently have. I think it's all about connecting the dots and making really deep, profound connections. And that's what my coaching exemplifies, that how people are reaching out for one-to-one coaching. And the interesting thing about that too, is some of it is on a professional basis. And some people are investing their own money, not their company's money, their own money, because they recognize that some of the principles, communication principles that we're talking about, and personality differences and such, affect their personal relationships as well.
You know, and the word relationship, like, that seems to be a thread that's been running through a lot of what you've been saying. And, you know, you referred back to things like LinkedIn, Facebook, all that sort of stuff, where it's, you know, business first. So forget about the relationship. And I get so many people calling up to help me improve my Google analytics. And so that more people find me. I say, people don't find me on Google anyhow. And then there's ones from, you know, Rogers that are trying to, you know, we've got this great plan. And I've gotten to the point sometimes where maybe I'm a little bit cranky and I just say, because they say, is this the owner of the business? Yes. Oh, we have this. I say, stop. Just be quiet for a minute. You haven't even stopped to ask if I have time for this conversation. My job is not to coach you, but I can tell you, if you just start in with me or probably anyone else with your business without getting to know me, I'm hanging up, right? But that relationship is so, so important. As you say, fewer and deeper is much better than, you know, barely anything and broad.
Exactly. And the whole concept of thinking small also applies to if you're initiating something. As you're chatting, I'm thinking about people who are, you know, I get what you're saying 100%, David. Boy, when these people call and they have no idea who you are and they're trying to pitch to you, pitch, 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 that's all you do. You know, like stop with the pitching. And in terms of thinking small, another area that I think this really applies in is when you're launching something or you're just dipping your toe into something, you want to give it a try. Here's an example. I'm in Florida right now. I'm a snowbird. Don't hate me, okay? If it's any consolation, it's raining here today, okay?
Oh, so. I feel better already.
And one thing that I've wanted to do while I'm here is, and you know, the beauty is we have virtual connections, so we can do exactly what we're doing here. It doesn't matter where you are. But the thing small is I've wanted to do a stretching class for ages. And why? Because I have rheumatoid arthritis and I need to stretch. I need to stretch. I really believe that all volunteering really stems from you're getting something out of it. Yes. Okay. It's kind of altruistic, but I don't really believe in altruism. I believe there's always something in when you volunteer, you're getting rewards. And so for me, now this is kind of exciting. This week, i.e. in 2 days, I am going to be having my very first stretch class. So here's an idea of think small. I said to the amenity center, I booked the room, and I said, how many people? Let's cap it at 20 people. And I'm just going to throw it out there, see if anybody's interested. And we had over 60 women. It's a ladies' stretch class, a women's stretch class. We had over 60 women who expressed interest, but the room won't accommodate. So we capped it at about 20, 25.
Wow.
And I also put the think small on the time frame of I didn't want to do it now till the end of March when I'm leaving. I wanted some time for Marion. So I did it from now till the about 6 weeks down the road. So that's a chewable bite. So if you're thinking of starting something, of doing some passion project that you've always wanted to, and maybe it's for yourself, like my stretching class, that others could benefit from it as well, do it. But do it, not a but, and do it in a small way. Just to test your water, dip your toe in the water and see, does it work for you? Does it work for others? Do you want to continue? So think small is a great way to launch something.
So that, first of all, the fact that 60 people signed up like that, obviously there's a need, you know, the whole notion of
well, piloting. And it's free, David. I'm not charging. They were looking at getting a yoga instructor in and charging people $10 every time they go. And when I saw that, I went, oh, please, I've got enough expertise and experience in this. I can do it for free.
Wow. And that's, you know, it's nice to be doing something that you're passionate about as well. So you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the value that you get as well as the value you give.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Now, you also talked about, you know, a lot of the things that you talked about thinking small. How does that apply to relationships, for example?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, it applies in terms of many ways. And One comment I hear a lot of people say is, you know, I wish that my boss would talk to me more, or I wish that my employee would take more initiative. Or I hear people say, you know what, I wish that my spouse was more demonstrative. So here's my tip on that is start behaving as if that other person is already behaving the way you want them to. and do it in a small way. So for example, if you want your boss to talk to you more often, pop by his or her office and say, hey, how was your weekend? Take the initiative. If you want your spouse to reach out and touch you more, because some people, their love language is touch. They need to be held. There's actually been studies about people who are not held early in life have difficulty being held and with touch later in life. And there are people who really, they crave that touch. So if that's what you need, and we as human beings, we all need that power of touch. So if that's what you need, just reach out and touch your partner. Touch them, him or her, on or them, on the shoulder. You know, like reach out and just touch their hand. And it doesn't need to be in a big, dramatic, romantic gesture type thing. Do it in a small way, because that's just on the line, just past that comfort zone. And when you're just past that line on the comfort zone, you have a much greater chance of pulling someone along with you than if you take a huge leap and you're trying to drag them in that direction.
Yeah. So I apologize for where my mind went, because I tend to think visually. So I thought, okay, mm-hmm. if you want someone to hug you, what you do is take potato, if they're a junk food kind of person, tape potato chips and cheesies and chocolates on your back. So they have to hug you to get them. And then you reinforce how much you enjoyed that. That's a little bit manipulative, but my mind went that way. And I thought,
I'm going to keep that in mind for my husband, because he's a sweet, Mr. Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. And in fact, if you can get someone else to record that, that'd be a great video, great demonstration
Will
video.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Marian, if you're going to give someone, two or three tips on, if you really wanted to, even just test out, think small. What are just three tips, three areas where someone might actually do that?
Okay. If you're at work and you want to apply it at work and you want to make a suggestion, but you know it's a high-risk suggestion and most people are going to probably poo-poo it, these are the two key words that will increase the chances that it's your proposal will get approved. And this is it. Pilot project. Hmm. Pitch it as a pilot project. So not as we're going to change and we're going to go in this direction and that's the end. That's the end of discussion. This is it. We're going to do this as a pilot project. We're going to just try it for 6 months and we're going to reassess it. Your opinion is important to me. I'm going to be asking you to be the detectives to watch out how this is working and give us feedback. We're going to reassess in 6 months because this is a pilot project. It's way less scary, for people to hear those words. And now another tip that you can use is try something. Try something new. Try something that you've been wanting to do, like my stretch class, or try singing, try karaoke. Oh boy, I did karaoke the other night. The first two I did with friends and it wasn't bad. The third one, I tried to do Aretha Franklin, Chain of Fools. Oh, it wasn't a fail. It was an epic fail. But try something new in a safe area. Just take that small step. Think small, just do something in a safe zone where you know, even if you bomb, you're going to get the lesson, you're going to get the laugh, and you can move forward. It doesn't define you. You know, when you fall, it's not about falling, it's just about standing back up and laughing, getting the lesson and moving forward. So try something new, dip your toe in that water, whatever that water may be. And the third thing I would say, in terms of thinking small, think in terms of kindness. Do something kind for someone else. Get out of yourself. You know, sometimes when we're consumed by problems and issues, it really helps us to just shift our thinking to someone else who needs us. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, no one needs me, that's my problem. No one needs me. Think again, because you just haven't connected with the right people, the right organization. You, every single one of you, and I want everyone who's listening to this right now to hear this, the world needs you. The world needs you.
When I was thinking about those three suggestions, I think one of the things it requires is for people to not have their primary driving value to remain comfortable.
Oh, indeed. Absolutely.
Right. I remember, I think a colleague, I think you know her as well, Linda Edgecombe. I remember her saying once that when's the last time you did something for the first time? And if you can't remember, you know, it might be time to start thinking small and trying some things.
Right. Absolutely. Think small. Think small day after day after day, and small things add up to big results.
Fabulous. Well, Marion, thank you so much for agreeing to be on this podcast with me, which is one of my new ventures. I've never done this sort of thing before, and all the way from Florida. So I wish you good weather. I don't know if you golf, but if you do, good golfing.
We'll call it golf. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I golf, but I'm not a golfer. I kind of get that distinction. And I hope your stretch class goes really, really well. So thank you once again, Marion Graub-Finkelstein. I'll put her contact information in the show notes. And this is David Guthrow with another episode of Discover Fresh Perspectives. Subscribe now, because on Fresh Perspectives, every episode is an opportunity to explore new horizons and redefine what's achievable.